Good morning. Today is Tuesday, 28th of March. Joining us this morning, the guy who's going to look to find who stole March, Casey Day from Fortuna.
Good morning, everyone.
You got any leads?
No. None to speak of. No, not so far.
Oh, boy.
Any day.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. You ready for it?
Hit me.
Why do we use the phrase jumping off place?
The starting place?
Jumping off.
I don't know. No idea.
Okay. Oh. During the era in which the frontier was flowing westward, trading posts represented civilization's last fringe. Traders who ran their prices sky high were likely to have as neighbors only a few criminals and adventurers. Many people preferred open country to spots infested with two-legged skunks. Been a while since you heard that phrase, huh?
Yeah.
That could be a Shasta County thing. I don't know.
Definitely.
All right. But a fellow planning to jump into the wilderness had to go to a trading post for supplies. Almost every spoken and written reference to such a jumping-off place was despairing. Adopted by many persons who have never been outside of the city, the frontier term is now used to label any remote area or spot for beginning of a journey. Hmm. Not nearly as sexy as what I was hoping there as it started.
Kind of reminds me of Far and Away.
That's where you are. I prefer near and close, frankly, but that's all right.
Well played.
Oh, so you ready for the baseball season?
I am so ready.
Finally got through everything, and but the Giants just have one game in New York, a morning game for us, and then they have a day off, and then it starts.
Yeah, I was really worried about that Aaron Judge deal, so it's like that all worked out for us.
I see, purist, gotta like that.
Yeah.
Once a Yankee, you're always, you know, it's kind of like you get a
loyal.
That's part of it.
Loyalty is one of those things, you
yes.
know.
Yes, and Bucky Dent's middle name. I can't say it. Oh, it's fun to toy with you.
Nice try.
Yeah. I think we probably spent too much time together before the show.
Like yes. Yeah.
15 seconds to get you on that one. If you're not a baseball fan or you're not understanding of the New York-Boston rivalry, look that one up.
Yeah.
Because you'll never hear us say it on air with an open mic.
No, and it is absolutely my favorite time during the season is to watch Boston and New York play.
Oh, so. I was – okay, this is one of those shows that's just going to flow again. I was listening to the Jimmy Buffett live album at Fenway, and he goes into a reference about Curse of the Bambino. Everybody starts booing. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the whole place is packed, probably 40,000, including the folks on the floor. He says, but the Yankees are getting beat 10-5. Everybody explodes. I don't think that there's a rivalry akin to that. The Dodger-Giant one just isn't, maybe because the distance is so far now, or when one team's up, the other team's down. It really hasn't been as strident is what Boston, New York is.
Yeah, no, it's just it's a different climate completely. I mean, I've been to, MLB games across the nation for over 20 years, and, you know, you find something a little different in every kind of nook and cranny of the United States, but that rivalty is as real as the air we breathe. I mean, you can feel it. You can almost taste it.
What do you think about Fenway?
I mean, it's to put bias aside, I mean, it's a beautiful ballpark. I mean, it's one of the oldest original ballparks
right.
that's left. I mean, it's, you know, anything historic is going to grab people's attention. And, you know, especially if you're kind of a diehard fanatic when it comes to the MLB or the history of it. I mean, it's definitely a place that, you know, you need to visit at least once.
It's been 35 years. Okay.
Yeah.
My takeaway was you could smell history there.
Mm-hmm.
Really tiny, tiny seats.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I preferred to walk instead of trying to wedge in.
Absolutely.
And it's the first place that I discovered, and for myself, and I don't know for you two if it's different, but if you don't have a horse in the race,
mm-hmm.
it's different because you're not rooting for somebody. You're just kind of in the environment and soaking up what is around. I mean, it was first time my team wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally relate and understand. I know the last time I was there was probably 20 some years ago. I went up with some friends when I was still in the service, and it was a Yankees Red Sox game. So, I mean, but I've never been there when I didn't have a pony in the race. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was kind of refreshing. Yeah. It was Boston playing Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, okay, yeah. You know, when we were with the A's, so it didn't really matter. I figured we were going to thump whoever it was anyway. So.
Right, yeah.
But the smells and the hallways, and you could sense 1918, 1919?
Yeah, you can feel it.
When it was built. It was there, and I could hear the metal cleats, you know, Ted Williams walking down.
Click, click, click.
Yeah. Of course, Dad was in that chain, so that kind of probably threw a little bit in there, but I'd love to see a game from the bleachers.
Yeah.
Not the red seat.
We'll grab some tickets, I'll go with
but, you. But, yeah, it's the airfare thing that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
And you're talking, what, at least six hours in the air with a layover.
Oh, it's not that. It's the seat size again. Come on, dude.
Works fine for me,
yeah,
Ryan.
Yeah. What do you mean, bulkhead? Oh, boy. So how do you think Judge is going to do? You think he's going to repeat?
Yeah, I think he's just hitting his, you know, his stride, or some people may call it his prime. I mean, he's, I think... You know, he deals well with pressure. I don't think he let, you know, the number of games left in the season and his overarching goal get to him last year. I would have liked to have seen him win the Triple Crown. He was pretty close.
Well, that's the investor in you talking.
Yeah. And slightly the little boy.
Now, isn't it? I mean, to me, it's like the pitching Triple Crown also. You know, it's there. You know that it's there.
Yep.
But you don't want it to become so commonplace because then it becomes devalued.
Exactly.
What is it? Yastrzemski was the last one, 67?
Mm-hmm.
And then before him, who was the last National League? Was it Mutual? I think it was in the 40s sometime.
I don't know.
Research during the break.
Research.
KINS, News and Information Time. We'll get into normal weird stuff. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Casey Day. Casey, last time we talked with Merritt, he was lauding the excitement about having the new police house. Any development on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything right now with the police is the station. So, Sequoia Construction was awarded that bid, and they have broken ground and started on the demolition side of things, which, you know, only makes sense due to this very beautiful weather we've been having for the last couple of months. But, they're moving along. I mean, I've been down there a couple times a week just to kind of walk through, and it seems like they're ahead of schedule.
You're drooling.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, don't give me that.
Yeah.
You're
and,
checking up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the organization, you know, it's just, you know, I think it's something they're looking forward to. It's been something that's been talked about for many years. A couple different locations were looked at over the years for, a bigger station. And this is just, you know, kind of icing on the cake. We're seeing this come to fruition. And, you know, the guys and gals are real happy about that.
Yeah, it's moving from myth to fact.
Yes. Yeah. From unicorn to horse.
Well, you know what the continued progression of that is. And
yeah.
I guess it ends up in your office that way.
That may be.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's during COVID when Mike Downey was the interim chief down there, you know, they had secured that Newburgh property. And so for all this time since COVID hit, we've had patrol and investigations working out of that new building. So it was challenging, I think would be the best word to define trying to move everybody back into that main station that was essentially commissioned back in the 60s. So
you're taking over like the council chambers or something.
You know, somehow we've made it work, and you know, people are, you know, within the organization are doing it with a smile on their face. And you know, again, I think it does go back, you know, at least to some amount of truth that, you know, it's a temporary thing, and you know, when this new building is done, it's going to be absolutely phenomenal.
Palatial, and don't worry.
Functional.
Yeah. Well, I mean, coming from everybody knocking elbows, it's going to feel like a palace.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That stuff's cool. Is the community responding to that, or is it right now, is it just the folks in the department and maybe some of the electeds?
No, there is a large segment of the community across a broad spectrum of, you know, different events where, you know, the community does want to know what's going on with that new facility. And we get, you know, regular updates. You know, our city council is very interested in sharing, you know, updates twice a month when we do have a council meeting. And, you know, generally Merritt Perry will deliver the update during, you know, kind of the end of the council session. But we were asked to, you know, kind of share what was going on at our State of the City event that we had recently. And both Merritt and I talked about that. And, you know, we still get people coming in just asking general questions about, you know, I think a lot of it stems from, you know, where do we go in the future, you know, because the community has also gotten used to, you know, patrol and investigations being down at the Newburgh property where my administration dispatch records is, you know, still in the main station.
Or just popping into City Hall and expecting that,
right,
you know, the cops are part of City Hall.
Right, right.
Not that happens in too many locations along the...
Not anymore.
In our area. I think
no.
Arcata has.
Yeah.
Is anybody...
I mean, even in Shasta, you know, the closest, I think, would be Reading Police's Patrol Operations Building, which is on the same property as City Hall, but it's a different building.
Distinct.
Yeah.
The goofy weather we've had last night with some of the winds, or are some of the others, any special challenges associated with that, or is it just wet, drive slow, and
those
that don't, you get a chance to meet?
Yeah, you would think that the increased weather was bringing, you know, some additional issues, but it's just kind of been run of the mill lately. I mean, it's, you know, I would say we've had a few more fender benders over the last few months. I mean, this winter has been unusually harsh compared to what I experienced the first 2 years when I was here. But, you know, so far, so good.
Hydroplaning to me is something that people don't understand until they are.
Right.
So it doesn't slow you up. It doesn't, you know, give you more of a buffer from the next guy or making some of the goofy moves, you know, slowing the highway up as you're driving, any of those types of things. And then every once in a while you see somebody point in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, yeah, okay, knock down 5 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if you guys see that in town also, if the hydroplaning on some of the main drags, if that's a reality.
I do see it, and I'm a little more sensitive to it because I saw it in my own rearview mirror about 2.5 months ago. I was headed to the Bay Area for a conference, and so I had left Fortuna and was heading south on 101 at about 55 miles an hour, and it was so, I mean, there were moments during my trip where I had to pull over because the rain was so intense, and, you know, I just couldn't get a clear view, so I'd pull over and kind of wait it out, but you know, when you're hydroplaning at 55, I mean, it's a wake-up call.
Yeah, either you're driving a creek bed.
Yeah, which is what it felt like. You know?
So. Yeah, I wonder the pros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys with the heavy loads and, you know, the cement trucks and folks like that really can't go that fast, but they can't just pull over either.
Yeah.
How different those vehicles react.
I don't know.
Because of the weight factor.
I've always understood that the weight it helps, you know, to some extent keep the vehicle on the road, but...
That's been my personal mantra.
Yeah.
The weight helps.
Yeah.
I don't think that one's going to make the highlight for the show.
No. Rewind.
Yeah, okay. KINS News.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Casey Day. Casey, are you seeing any trends that are either positive that you're excited about, other than the construction, or trends that you're seeing that are kind of positive that you're going, yeah, okay, something may be changing out there?
Yeah, you know, I'll speak to the organization first. I think, you know, the pandemic was... you know, it impacted law enforcement organizations throughout the state with, you know, the level of proactivity. And, you know, I think I may have talked about this on a prior session, you know, just kind of seeing the trends start back towards that model. But, you know, it's really been quite refreshing over the last 4 to 6 months to kind of see that full rebound. And so, you know, now where, you know, essentially we had officers that were, you know, trying to minimize exposure just like everybody else and, you know, not doing a lot of traffic enforcement or what have you, you know, now.
Also, it did change the day-to-day.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, you had a lot of chiefs and sheriffs, too, you know, telling organizations like, you know, look, this is the stuff that we're going to deal with and, you know, maybe not so much of the proactive contact. And, you know, we're full slide back to, you know, kind of where we were pre-pandemic. So, you know, seeing the guys out there and they're busy and, you know, they're being proactive and, you know, just re-engaged in the day-to-day within the community has been refreshing.
Yeah, it was full slide, not blue slide.
No, okay. No blue. I don't want to talk about blue slide this morning. That bridge went down for a weekend and that was
tough.
Even, yeah, oh yeah.
Tough sleds, yeah. Yes. Yeah. What about the types of activities? You know, we hear... parenthetically, about a lot of shoplifting, and that there's a level of sophistication. It's tough for me to say that word in association with that, but a level of mental acuity that it's far more prevalent than what a lot of us think, and a lot more brazen than what a lot of us experience, unless we happen to be employed in those types of retail settings. Is that continuing? What is that all about?
Yeah, so there's really two sides in my mind. And, you know, what you're talking about is, you know, those that have learned, you know, kind of what those cutoff limits are for values of stolen merchandise. We're talking about criminal element at this point, you know, and just learning, you know, what our justice system is doing with those issues now in the face of and result and consequence, if you will, of decriminalization. The other part of it is, you know, the organized retail theft, which, you know, that is sophisticated organized crime. There is a lot of talk, you know, within the press and media surrounding organized retail theft. There are some legislative bills that are, you know, currently completed and will be looked at the next, you know, legislative section. Just, you know, to find ways to, you know, strengthen the consequences for those that are involved in serial theft and organized retail theft.
So when you're saying organized crime with theft, fan of Rodney Dangerfield?
Yes.
Okay. So you know his line about his dad working at the bank?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we're going to have organized, we're not stealing pencils from the bank.
No.
We're stealing automobiles off of car lots. You know, I mean, if you're going to roll the dice, you may as well get something with a higher return. So when you reference organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
What in our area, what does that look like?
Well, I mean, you know, the easiest way to kind of look at that is just, you know, where is the pipeline coming through Humboldt County? So we have businesses along the 101 that, you know, are probably more at risk than any other business in the region. And, you know, these organized retail thefts are very specific. So it's, you know, places that, you know, you can essentially steal electronics. It's things that are high value, that are, you know, bigger, probably box store chains that, you know, provide some sort of volume. And when you have a volume of business that's coming in and out of a store, you know, every day, all day, I mean, it's harder to pay attention to, you know, every single customer that comes in the door. So those thefts become easier, they become more prevalent. And, you know, this merchandise is essentially brought back to an organization to fence. So
is this like the Costco's of the world or the Targets of
Walmart's,
the world?
Costco's, Walmart's. Targets. Yeah, I mean, I remember where I came from in Shasta County. I mean, Walmart was always a targeted business for the retail thefts and the serial thefts as well. So
a serial theft is the same person coming back repeatedly?
They come back, they steal today, they're back tomorrow, you know, and even if we arrest somebody for, you know, a misdemeanor theft, the normal resolution is a citation. There are certain times.
So how many until something happens? I mean, 10, 20, 30?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? So, you know, unfortunately, you can do a quick Google search in any one of the jurisdictions throughout any one of these Northern California regions and find people that, you know, they have 15, 18, 22 pending theft cases. Why are they out of custody?
Yeah. Will they go plus, 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 or is each one a separate event?
Well, I mean, it's the consistency. I mean, I'd love to be able to answer that question, but we're not even seeing consistency, you know, in the justice system and the courts. I mean, different judges do different things, and, you know, it's incredibly frustrating because, you know, law enforcement and, you know, the other sections of government are required to be consistent and do things according to policy. But when it comes to the justice system, it's, you know, almost like a free-for-all.
So it really is that independent based on whose court you get assigned?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
You know, you can see pluses and minuses on that one. But it doesn't seem to be working out the way that it currently is.
Well, I mean, I'm not a fan, but...
Yeah. Now, is the same true for burglaries, or because that's a more of an invasion rather than a taking? Does that change that dynamic a little bit as far as whether or not your efforts end up in a courtroom?
Yeah, I mean, you know, different crimes are looked at differently according to, you know, what the law actually is. So burglary was originally, you know, a crime where there was some sort of entry and, you know, theft or some other felony was committed. And, you know, with decriminalization, we got, you know, stupid crimes like 459.5, which is more referred to as a, you know, it's a burglary in a convenience store or some sort of retail.
Kind of like a shoplift?
Yeah, it's a retail shoplifting misdemeanor. Yeah. But, you know, everything boils down to the value of the property and how it's prosecuted.
That's really it, isn't it?
Just it is.
The dollar sign.
Absolutely.
If it goes over the magic number, game on. And if it doesn't...
That's it.
It doesn't.
That's it.
Huh. Yeah. I don't think I want to be a cop. Now, at this point, you say, not only that.
Yeah. It's definitely frustrating.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Casey Day. What does springtime look for you? I mean, you're not. Are you having to do budgets?
Yeah, we're right in the middle of that right now.
Okay. Yeah. Depending on what jurisdiction you're talking to, it's either not too bad, not bad at all, or oh my gosh, we're having some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys?
Yeah, the police department just finished our review and any modifications for the new fiscal year, which will turn over in June. So, the last couple of years, the budgets looked really nice for the police department. We do a pretty good job of, working within our budget and, considering any type of special projects before council. But, we do see some room for growth in our current fiscal budget with the move to the new police facility. It's going to be a bigger facility.
Things like utilities and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, it's all of it. But yeah, utilities being one thing. I mean, we have, 6% inflation statewide right now. You're talking about everything from supplies to ammunition to gasoline. And then...
Not necessarily in that order.
No.
Yeah.
No. So,
did you run into any of the supply chain issues? I mean, you mentioned ammo.
I think cars were the biggest issue for us. So we had maximized leverage through some grant funding with the USDA in 21 and 22. And it seemed like it was just taking forever to get our patrol vehicles in. And so we ended up getting some of the Ford Explorers, and then we just kind of hit a wall. And, we had a grant we were going to purchase 4 new cars this year, and we ended up finding some patrol rated Tahoes, Chevy Tahoes in Sacramento. And so we took possession of those about 4 weeks ago now.
That sounds like you showed up with a gun and a badge and you took possession. You mean you purchased them?
It's a funny story, actually. We got a cold call from a dealership in Sacramento that had was specialized in selling Chevy work trucks, but they had inadvertently took possession of about 75 police Tahoes. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it just kind of like...
So, yeah, got a call one day on my way out of the office, and it was like, this is such and such with such dealership. We have these, and it was, again, that mounting frustration. We were trying to get those Explorers, and we just couldn't do it.
And they just got a wrong shipment or placed the wrong order, and now they're trying to hustle the gear?
That was the information I received,
wow.
Yeah. So... We certainly didn't wait. We got an excellent government pricing contract for 4 new Tahoes. They're beautiful vehicles. We've updated the graphics and the imaging in Fortuna. So
it's like a Fortuna vehicle now?
Well, it will be, yeah, as soon as we're done with all the gear and the graphics.
Have you ever thought how the community would react if you did something just totally out of character, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was Calusa.
Yeah.
Or San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Got one of their logos and slapped it on the side. Drive it for a couple of weeks, whether it's one of the metal signs or something mm-hmm. that would be a temporary, just to see if anybody's paying attention.
Yeah, it would be so funny. It would be kind of a humorous experiment.
Yeah.
But, these new Tahoes, though, they're, we're getting away from the black and white. They're going to be in all black with a contrasting graphic.
Yeah, everybody's going like DOJ.
Yeah, they're very, very catchy.
Well, and I suppose it's easier to paint. You don't have to, the maintenance.
Well, you don't have to wrap or paint the doors. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's more fiscally responsible. So.
Yeah, and there's a somberness associated with it.
Yeah.
So when I see you dressing all black, either you're Johnny Cash or you got too close to the car.
Yeah, I like the colors.
All right, bud. Yeah. Black and gray.
Oh, the graphics?
Yeah, no, never mind.
Yeah.
See everybody tomorrow.